the hill. That doesn't mean that I'm gonna sit still. I'm not as strong, but I'm just as bold. It's not how old you are, but how you...
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. John, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right. We had a little bit of technical difficulties due to, well, I guess a blizzard, and we'll just leave it at that. But we're on live. It is Saturday morning once again. Saturday, November 10th, 2012. And we say welcome to you out there. And John, would you start this program off with a word of prayer, please?
Sure. Heavenly Father, we come before you humbly in the precious holy name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask that you guide and direct our thoughts today, that you give us the thoughts that you want your people to hear. Lord, I pray that you would touch your people's hearts all across this country, those that are listening today, that they would call in and share what you've put on their mind, that we would have a blessed fellowship on the air today, this morning, and that all the glory would go to you. Lord, as we... many of us sit and wonder what happened this week. We know. We know that we do not deserve to be let out of bondage, that we're not even close to repentance, that we have not heeded 2 Chronicles 7:14. Lord, I pray that you would have grace and mercy on your people, your remnant, that you would guide and direct particularly the patriarchs of each family to do what they need to do to escape the wrath that's coming. Have mercy on us, Lord. In Christ Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.
Amen. And dear Heavenly Father, we do come before you, and we just ask for your blessing upon this broadcast today. We ask that you guide us and direct us with the working of the Holy Spirit. Come down upon us to give us the words to speak. And oh, Father, we want this show to be a blessing to the saints across this land. We want it to be a blessing to your people, your chosen people. We want it to be a blow to Satan and his kingdom and his children. And we pray that that blow is powerful, that you bring that heels of boots right down upon his head, and that you crush that serpent of old. Oh, Father, we call for it to be done. We ask that you just guide us and direct us and send down upon the remnant a working of the Holy Spirit, that you just guide them and direct them where they need to go, what they need to do, how they need to prepare. And, oh, Father, give it to them. We ask for wisdom for our people. Ask that you pour it out upon them. Ask that in these perilous times that we're living in, that the remnant, that their cup overflows, that you grant them the blessings, prosperity, that you see to it that they're fed, and that their bodies are satisfied, that they're healthy, that they're strong. Oh, Father, we claim the benefits of the cross right now, and we just ask, Father, for you to guide us and direct us in all that we do. We claim it, and we stand upon it. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. I want to give the number out, Jason.
Yeah, the phone number to call in, if you'd like to call in, is 970-224-4203. 970-224-4203. And we are live, Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Like to hear your comments. And if you have anything that like to talk about that's going on out there, we sure would like to hear it. So give us a call. What else is going on out there in the world then, John?
I don't know.
What have you been following this week?
Sure seems like Babylon's continuing on full force.
You know it does. And I was thinking about a story. I don't know, you probably remember Dad talking about that story. I believe it was one of his professors that was telling the story. And it was a professor of the pastors, and he was in Pearl Harbor when the bombing of Pearl Harbor took place. And he was on one of the ships, and he came out, and he was standing there, and he was watching the bombs drop. Boom, 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 blowing buildings up, all kinds of stuff. And he said he was just standing there. He went over, he leaned up against one of the fences, and was watching it. And he just kept thinking to himself, boy, they really got, they're playing it up good today. And they were blowing buildings up and ships up. And he's like, man, that's, you know, pretty good show. And he said, until someone ran around the corner and was yelling, war, 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 going on and on and on, top of his lungs. And he stopped and thought about it. He did not know that there was a war going on. And I think that that, you know, that's so applicable today, is that we've got a war going on. You know, we can see the casualties of war. This man here, he could clearly see that there was casualties of war. He saw the bombs drop. He felt the heat come off those bombs, hit him in the face. He saw the smoke. He saw soldiers running. But he didn't grasp the concept that there was a war going on.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
You know, and that's, I mean, that's where we're at today. It's you know, so many people, they do not see this war going on, and that there is, you know, that it is a war.
Yeah, well, what I get out of this election thing is the line's been drawn, you know, it's good versus evil.
Yeah, and it has been for a while.
Yeah, choose ye this day who you shall serve. If Baal be God, serve Baal.
Exactly.
If God be God, serve God, you know. But it's interesting that those of the Judeo-Christian faith feel like all is lost, you know, because
yeah.
They put their faith in the wrong thing. I kind of have fun talking with them about it, and they're like, oh, how come you're not wearing black and this and that? And I said, what are you talking about? I'm happy. They go, what do you mean you're happy? And I said, well, what do you expect?
What do people expect?
Exactly.
Israel's never repented when they've had things good.
Yep.
God's always had to put hardships upon them before they cry out and ask for forgiveness. That's the truth.
Yep. Every knee will bow one way or the other. But we're not quite there yet. People still got a long way to go down before they repent or perish, you know. And that's what I get out of it is it's our job to get those that can repent to repent and to heed the call of being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins.
Yeah, it reminds me of the beginning of Proverbs 12. It says, 12 verse 1 says, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, people, they want to do it their way. They want to do it, you know, they want to have their sin and get by, and it ain't going to happen. You know, I think that, you know, you look at, you know, it's, I think is one thing that we can see out of this whole thing is that we've got a nation of more dependence than we do of paying into the system, so to speak. You know, and that was a tipping point, I think it was a couple years ago, where all of a sudden we've got more people dependent on this bail system than we do have support in it. And it, you can't go on like that.
Yeah, that's a fact. Yeah, I was reading Psalms and Proverbs this week, and I like Psalms 2:4, it says, he who sits in the heavens laughs, the Lord scoffs at them.
Oh, yeah.
Then he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury, saying, but as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain.
Let's go to the phone lines.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, Jason, hi.
How you doing?
Oh, pretty good. This is Joe in PA.
Hey,
oh,
Joe.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, John.
Morning, Joe. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks. Praise God. Listen, I wanted to bring up something that's, for about a week now, it's been on my mind. Remember last week, you remember that, Branson gathering. I didn't attend it, but I heard it. You broadcasted it, the whole thing over the shortwave. And I was at way out in the boonies at that point. So I heard pretty much the whole thing. And I think Pastor Ron Poach was at that gathering. And I heard him last week have his little sermon there. It was quite stirring, and it got me thinking, you know, we got men out there. Men that know the truth. And, just like Pastor Peters did. And, they have their body of believers that congregate around them, perhaps. And, they're searching and stuff. In the days, or in the years that Pastor Peters was with us, he he carried a bright light, and it wasn't under a bushel basket either. And when he passed, there was a void. And I think that now, in addition to praying for a pastor to carry on SFA, we ought to be praying for pastors, plural, in the country, you know, and in the world. So that's what I...
Well, is what we need to be praying is we need to be praying for laborers, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've known an awful lot of pastors in my life, and you know, I tell you what, I could give. I wouldn't trust most of them as near as far as I could throw them, and you know, that's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I know one thing that I learned a long time ago is you know, when somebody comes up to you and tells you that they're a pastor. One thing you want to do is start backing up, and the other thing you want to do is put your hand on your pocketbook.
Your hand in your pocket, yeah.
You know, is what, and is what we need is laborers. Is we need is you know, people that you know,
humble laborers,
laborers, people that you know don't want it to be about them, but want it to be about Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and that's why I think it was the Holy Spirit who led Dad to call these men, Acres of Diamond men, together to pray and seek God's face and seek His direction through the Holy Spirit, and then share that with the brethren. But I can, I mean, I've been around for a while, and I can tell you, 9 3/4 out of 10 of the pastors that were ever in associated with this ministry would shake your hand with one and stab you in the back with the other. So I'm not saying all, but I'm just saying.
And that's why I think it is important. Like Joe's saying, it's important. We gotta pray for people. But you know, we pray for, you know, there's a difference between you know, a pastor and a laborer. And you know, you look at all the different gifts that we got in the Bible, and you know, those, there's a lot of other stuff that you know that we need right now. And you know, but it comes out of the right spirit. That's why, you know, several years ago we quit having pastors come to our gatherings. We didn't have them at our Rocky Mountain camps, and we didn't have them at our Branson gatherings. Because you know, been burned out on pastors, and we started doing, you know, just Acres of Diamonds men. And you know, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of men, because you get a man that doesn't isn't a pastor. That doesn't get up there and you know, say, look at me and look what I have to say, and you know, tries to get everybody to, you know, follow them, then
exactly.
You get you know, you get some men that have a love for the truth, and they're convicted about what they want to talk about, and they study it, and they do a fantastic job. So
sheep stealers, most of them.
Yeah, and some of them are worse than that. You know, I mean, I'll tell you what, some of these pastors, it's, you know, you give them an inch and they take a mile. And they, just like John said, shake your hand with one hand and stab you in the back with another. Seen it time and time again.
Yep.
And it's kind of, you know, it's kind of amazing. It's really, what I've seen with these pastors is you do good to them and they return good for evil.
Yeah, I think of Baptist preacher that we knew. We got a report the other, well, I don't know, a month ago or so, of one of the Acres of Diamond men that attended something where he was, and he knows that he knows who he is, you know, and they can't get out of the way fast enough.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting.
So I guess along with that, we ought to be just searching out those who have the ability to pronounce shibboleth, so to speak.
Yeah, and most of them can't pronounce it if their mouth's full of it.
Exactly. You got to remember too that, you know, it you don't just replace the Pastor Peters; the Holy Spirit does. And when it's right, we'll know it. But it ain't there yet. And praise God, He made the provisions to continue to feed His sheep, even though He's not here. And praise God, nobody can hurt Him anymore. And I'll tell you one thing, you read Revelations and you keep reading it, and you read it, and you read it, and you read it, and the Holy Spirit reveals more and more to you. But I know we have at least one righteous judge. You know, we have more than one, but I believe that's why the pastor
Well, and we never know what could happen next. It seems like things are escalating so fast that we could be headed into that 3.5 years tribulation.
Yeah.
No, in the last week or so after this election, I've detected on AM radio a slight stirring, and I was listening to an AM radio station locally here that broadcasts conservative talk show hosts, and I never do this, but I decided to try to, gauge what people who are, they call themselves conservative, have to say about the thing. And there was one guy, he seemed kind of milky, very milky, in fact. He was the host, and somebody called up, and the first thing out of his mouth was, "I'm an angry white man."
Well, imagine that. I think that might have been rigged.
And this was 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock in the morning. And up there in Binghamton, north of me, that's pretty, that's not white man's land up there. If you know what I mean.
Right.
So, but anyway, keep on, like you said, Pastor Pope said, keep on keeping on, brothers. And I'll be listening in. And,
all right.
I'll sign off now.
Thanks for calling, Joe. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Good night. And phone number to call in, if you'd like to make a call, 970-224-4203. That's 970-224-4203. And phone lines are open. It's everybody wants it their way. I think about the people that, wanted a king, just like all the other nations. Isn't that just, so much of a fleshly nature?
Yeah, amen. Yeah, I was reading about that too. 1 Samuel.
Yeah, I think it's 1 Samuel 5 something where it gets into that. But,
right.
Interesting times that we're living in, that's for sure. I tell you what, I did get a chance to stop by a gun show yesterday. Was pretty pleased with that. Went to a small one. But talk about people being, ready to buy guns. And it was interesting because it wasn't your average day people that you usually see at a gun show either. It was people that were going that didn't know anything about guns, that had a feeling that they might not be able to get one if they didn't get it now. And I was able to talk with quite a few people there in the short time that I was there, but did have some real good conversation. And I tell you what, there was absolutely no Obama supporters there, that's for sure. There's people buying everything. There was one table, it was a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday show, and it was a small show, probably 100 tables. And they had... there was one guy selling ammo there, bulk ammo, and his prices were high, and he was already sold out of almost everything he had, and that was within a couple hours after the show had opened.
Wow.
So that tells you there's two more gun shows this weekend here in the area, and I guess they just went... they went like gangbusters yesterday. People are, their thoughts are, if they don't get it now, they don't know if they ever will.
Yeah, well, they may be right.
And they may be right.
Did you see, it wasn't the first, well, it was. It was the morning after the election. Obama Nation came out and said that we need to ratify the UN's resolution on ban on guns worldwide,
Yeah, within 24 hours.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, all I can say is, make sure you invest in precious metals.
Lead.
Without the lead, you ain't going to keep your gold and silver.
Lead and copper.
Yep. Brass.
Well, we're going to take a break real quick. We'll be right back after this song.
British armies came from across the bounding main to attack our native shores and to sailing ships of war, to establish tyranny by the orders of a tyrant king. Paul Revere cried his alarms and the people took up arms and they fired up their guns on the greens of Lexington. Soon the battles will be won and the bells of liberty would ring. Who
those men who fought to keep us free were not afraid to die. They drew their strength and courage from towers up on high and cried this battle cry. No king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Messiah. The last 100 years we have fainted from the fight for his liberty and life. We've been blinded by the lies, so we already know what's right from wrong. As the anti-Christian hordes with the global overlords now surround his holy saints in the camp of the United States, just like Israel of old, we now find ourselves in Babylon. So now's the time for all good men to seek his face on high and vow to do his will on earth and rise up and defy the lie and cry this battle cry. No king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Messiah. Seek his face on high and vow to do his will on earth and rise up and defy the lie and cry this battle cry. No king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Messiah.
And we'll go to the phone lines. Hello, caller.
Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
Doing good, Jason. Yep.
Doing well. What morning, do you got for us this morning?
Morning, Jess.
Good morning, John. Just a positive note, a little reinforcement. Everywhere you look around, you look like things are going to Babylon, and everybody's running around scared because Obama's president, and same old song and dance. But the other morning I was talking to a friend of mine. He's a dairyman, you know, just simple people that, you know, cultivate the earth. And, whenever I talk to somebody, I try to let them do the talking and see where they stand and then, you know, go from there. He's talking about the election and all and, you know, Obama winning. I said, yeah, man, I don't know what you think the answer is, you know, about everything. He said, well, he said, I'll tell you one thing. He said, people might not like it. He said, but there's only one answer. He said, and that's Jesus Christ. He said, and the answer is there in that word, in that book. And, all we got to do is follow him. And I about fell down in the field where we were standing.
Praise the Lord.
But people are waking up and this is what it's going to take. Turn up the heat. And that's what I pray for. They can't let fire.
Amen. You know, there's a remnant.
It can't get better until it gets worse.
Yep.
I don't know about y'all, but I've had enough of the way it is right now, and I'm ready for something good.
Amen.
But just a little encouragement.
That is encouraging.
Thanks, Jeff.
Y'all have a good morning.
Yep.
God bless. We'll see you.
And we'll go to line two. Hello, caller.
Hello, Jason. Dennis from Connecticut calling. Hello, John. How are you?
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Doing great. Hey, I just wanted to comment on the election a bit. I want to go back to, I think it was 2000 when they had that hanging chat incident with Al Gore and George Bush. They were talking about how close it was. And I specifically remembered watching the result when Al Gore pulled ahead in Florida. And then they took the numbers off the screen and they said, you know, it's too close to call. We won't know until tomorrow. And I remember the things that I recall about that was there was a gentleman named Bernard Shaw, who was the CNN news anchor at the time. And he called the state of Florida for Al Gore at about 8 o'clock. And ironically, or interestingly, that was 12 years ago. And, shortly thereafter, I mean, he wasn't officially fired, but the gentleman, the news anchor, Bernard Shaw, he was never seen on TV after that. So he was slowly, you know, quietly go. So I hear a lot of people today saying, oh, how could the people want this or want that? I mean, I don't think it makes a difference who voted for who. They're just going to show you numbers that make it look really close, leave in or put in whoever they want at the time.
Amen. Well, you know, you think about it, when they caught Obama on mic that one time talking to Putin's representative, and he said, tell Putin I'll have more flexibility after the election. That wasn't if I win. That was just after the election.
It was one of those, I'll just wait. Just wait.
Yeah. It's already been decided, so don't worry.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I remember when I was a kid, I used to hear that, you know, people in Russia would wait in line to vote for people, but it didn't really matter who was elected, you know. And I unfortunately think that where in this country it's the same way. It doesn't really matter if you wait in line and vote for whoever, because, you know, they're still taking a third of your pay. So I tell people it's like picking a new warden in your prison every year. My first question is, are they still going to take a third of my pay? The answer is yes. Why even vote?
Yeah, exactly. Well, good news is God can turn a curse into a blessing. So we're just going to pray that all those curses that they have planned for us will be blessings.
Yeah, the current Obama, he makes me pray more than probably any other person in history.
Amen.
That's good, you know?
And I think he's been about one of the best gun salesmen we've had in a long time.
Yeah, he's gun salesman of the century, I think. You know? Yeah.
Yeah, when people say, make sure you pray for the president, and it's like, oh, we do. Psalms 109, baby.
Yeah. Okay, thanks very much, guys.
Thanks for calling.
Have a great day.
Thanks, man.
And we'll go to line two. Hello, caller.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Say, I got a little inspiration from Wrangler Richard on Thursday. Comes out of Daniel 3. This is what it says. Starting at verse 12, there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy God, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you do not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this manner. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy God, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. What's the unseen there, gentlemen?
Amen. That's a great example to all of us.
What's the unseen there?
There's a remnant that won't.
Well, the way I see it, the unseen is that Daniel, or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we got no problem answering you to this matter. If, even if our God does not deliver us,
right,
we will not serve your image. Now, the question is, properly framed, of course, what are God's people going to do? Because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we will do right by God. Are God's people going to serve this Obamacare? Are God's people going to serve this debt system? Are God's people going to serve these universities that are turning out idiots and tens of thousands of dollars in debt? See, I think that's where we're at, and I think we all make a grave mistake if we don't catch people in their thought process and say, now, wait a minute, we need to back up just a step or two and get things in the proper order. I had people saying to me, you know, about the election and everything else, that, well, what do you do when you've got, you know, two candidates and both of them are corrupt? Well, see, that's the answer. That's the answer to many people is, well, you just don't do anything. Now, correct me where I'm wrong, gentlemen, but in that particular case, I again reminded the individual, what did you do 12, 24, 36, 4 years in advance to see to it that you had a godly individual instead of what you had, which was two corrupt individuals? Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, and you ask the question, you know, are they going to serve these, you know, these different deities? And, I mean, the answer is clearly is yes, because they have been. You know, they've been going to these Baal temples called churches in the land for how long? And, you know, haven't got their noses in their Bible. You know, if they would, you know, get into their Bible and read the Word of God, and they could clearly see that, you know, this guy that calls him a pastor is nothing but a pimp.
Right.
You know what I mean? And is that you, John?
Yeah, dumb dog. Sorry.
But, you know, it's and that's where we're at. And that's where, you know, I've seen what these, you know, these churches are preaching. And, you know, I wonder a lot of times, it's like, do people even read their Bibles? And I don't think they do, because if they did, they could tell that this preacher that they're listening to, you know, is lying to them. Is nothing but a, you know, no good out and out liar.
Well, you know, there's one other scripture I'll leave you guys with, going into Luke 12. This, of course, is where Christ goes on a fairly long dissertation with regard to the hypocrisy and the covetousness rampant in the land. Certainly at 12:15 is where we see the beginnings of his comments with regards to covetousness. But specifically, Luke 12:49, Jesus says, I am come to send fire upon the earth, and what will I if it all be already kindled? I kind of messed that up. I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? I don't know what that says to you guys, but I think that's not a rhetorical question. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Yeah, I would agree.
You know, it's, I mean, you look at, you can see so many different things changing, and I do believe that there's, you know, that there is people waking up, and that they're waking up and they're starting to look for the truth, but it's because hard times have come down upon them. You know, and I think that that's when, you know, when our people, you know, start getting into the Word of God, looking at God's laws. You know, we just played the, you know, 6-part series on the law, which was, to me, laid out so much, was just a fantastic series, and it was timely, and just so, you know, I think it was the time that the Lord wanted that broadcast again. And, you know, the last newsletter article that we put together, I wrote it on the law. And it's, you know, when people start looking at God's law versus man's law, and we get back to the Word of God, you know, that's when we're going to have changes. But we're not going to have, but people aren't going to do that unless hard times come down upon them.
Well, and it looks like, according to that scripture, that the fire can be kindled. And we all know who's responsible for doing it.
Be there.
And if we won't, then we know who ultimately will. So I'll leave you with that, gentlemen. And Jason, thanks for the kind email.
Yeah.
Thanks, Doug.
Thanks for calling. And we'll go to line one. Hello, caller.
Hello, Jason. Andre Yeager here in Connecticut.
Hey, Andre, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well.
Well, praise the Lord.
We've been praying for you, Andre.
Well, I prayed before this big gigantic thing came in here and suffered no damage. Praise no God. Damage on the property I'm renting in my landlord's house. Or any of my customers, which I prayed for. But this thing was unbelievable, massive. And the coastline here, not far from me, about 20 miles down to where I lived up until 3 years ago. It's just unbelievable. I mean, the sand is no longer on the beaches. It's in everybody's front yard or backyard or down the alleyways and across the roads, and the houses are stove in. 40 houses condemned in Fairfield, nearby, right up the coast.
Wow.
25 or 30 in Westport, Connecticut. Uninhabitable, you know? But this is... the Lord really, really used that. Well, you should listen to McCanny. From McCanny for the last 2 weeks' transmissions, and more people should listen to Jim McCanny. Scientist, a real scientist. But anyway, this was, the Lord really slammed the whole seaboard from the middle Atlantic all the way to Maine. And then this other storm came in, and I only got about 3-4 inches of snow here. It was very pleasant, but I was able to, basically take a little vacation for a number of days. I was out of power for 6 days, but I had my generator and read and listen to the archives and listen to you guys. And I mean, it was unusual for me to have so much time to get as much listening in as I wanted and watch some of the DVDs for public broadcasting. And Richard's two parts on the kingdom was absolutely excellent, absolutely excellent. I was really very edified to hear that. It gave me a lot of open ideas and energy to, you know, just kind of made it more clear what I'm about or what I should be about, where I wasn't about, and so on and so forth. But when the storm was coming, I was saying, thank you, Lord, there's not going to be any Halloween again. This is great, you know? And it wasn't.
Amen.
And they were announcing in Connecticut that Halloween would be celebrated on the following week. Great, because we had another storm that canceled that out. So, you know, there was no Halloween this year. And,
you know, and they didn't have a very good one last year either.
No, they didn't have any last year. They had to do it afterwards. And it was kind of pathetic, you know. It's kind of like, well, we'll celebrate Christmas because we couldn't have it all winter, so we'll have it, you know, right next to Easter. You know, the week before Easter, we'll celebrate Christmas, you know. I mean, what? It was funny. It was great. And I expect that, I bet anything that the Lord's going to do the same thing again next October.
Yeah, and I bet really? You that he sits in the heavens and laughs, too.
Oh, like I'm sure he's laughing. I was laughing.
Yeah.
I was laughing maybe because the Spirit was laughing at me, you know.
Amen.
Thank you to God. So, anyway, it's been very good. And, you know, I hear you guys have got a blizzard out there or something going on.
Yeah, just to the west of us somewhere. That's what I hear. But, you know, it's that time of year.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was speaking with a friend of mine who lives in Aspen. He called me up the other night, and he was, you know, hoping for more snow, but he's been skiing some of the basins where they've had sufficient snowfall, the higher elevations. So I figured you guys are going to get slammed pretty soon.
Yeah, it's just a matter of time.
Well, the last time I was about to go through Wyoming, through Cheyenne, I was picking up our truck. My brother and I were going out to California. And they said, where are you boys going? So I told them where we're headed. And he said, I gave him an idea. I told him what our route was being. He said, well, you know, boys, I don't drive through Cheyenne until after the Memorial Day. He said, any time before that, all hell can break loose. And, you know, it can come totally unexpected because that can just come barreling down out of the north. And you guys best off going down Denver and going through the tunnel over that way, cutting over that way.
Down there, that can get a lot of snow, too, sometimes. I mean, it just, it depends. Yeah. You just really got to watch the weather. It's decided if you're going to go on the north route or the south route.
Yeah, I've got a battle with bad weather, though. Well, we drove down to Denver and started going through the mountains, came out of the tunnel. We were hearing about this horrendous blizzard that had swept down through Cheyenne and how that Route 70 was closed down and there were trucks stranded and Cheyenne was kind of isolated for 2 days. I said, man, well, I'm glad we listened to that guy, you know. So, but I've seen some big storms, and I went to college in the Allegheny Valley up near Buffalo, New York, and I've seen snow like you never see it anywhere else in the East. So, anyway, I hope the skiers get a good one.
And, I hope we get some good snow in the mountains this winter. Just because we need the water. Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully you'll get a good heavy mountain to snow this winter. But anyway, it's good to hear you. It's the first time in months I've been able to sit around on a Saturday and listen to your Wranglers live.
Well, thanks for calling. Appreciate it, Andre.
Yeah, well, you be well. God bless you. Glad I could do it and listen to you.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Have a good week.
Keep safe
tomorrow, Andre. Church. Bye-bye.
Well, phone lines are open once again, and if you'd like to call in, we sure would like to hear from you. We've got about 6 or 7 minutes, so we got time for one or two more phone calls, as long as they're fairly quick ones. Phone number is 970-224-4203. Now, that storm was just interesting. I mean, just to watch it coming in on that weather map, the way it came in and swirled around, is you can tell that, God had his hand pushing that storm right where he wanted it. And the interesting thing is when that storm was coming in, we prayed. We started praying, and we went out on the radio. We went out on, on our church service, and we prayed for the Lord to guide and direct that storm and for it to hit the ones he wanted it to hit and for it to skip, and pass by over his people. And we prayed that fervently. And, it's been interesting because since we've been advertising this, Sandy Relief, we've been, trying to help our people out that are out there that got affected by the storm. And everybody that I've talked to said, well, no, the storm went right around us, didn't affect us, but we're willing to help if you find anybody that did get affected by it.
Praise God.
So well, that is a praise. Praise you, Jesus. We thank you for that. We'll go to the phone lines. Hello, caller.
Jason, John, how are you guys doing this morning?
Good, how are you doing?
Still in Illinois. I'm doing great. Hey, I just had a quick thought I'd put out there for as far as the election goes. There for just a minute, when I woke up and found out that Obama was elected again, I sort of kind of got a little upset about it. But then all of a sudden the thought occurred to me, we're supposed to rejoice in all things, and God is in control, and certain things are just going to happen the way they happen in order for his plan to go through. And, when it says that in Chronicles where if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, number one, there's a lot of people that just aren't going to do that and seek his face. Most people don't want to do that.
Nope.
And repent.
Well,
most people don't want to do that because they're too stuck on themselves and worshiping the works that they can create for themselves.
We'll get right to you. Just hang on a second.
Oh, sorry. And, there's only a remnant that's going to be proven to do what God wants them to. He doesn't want people to do it because they're forced into it. He searches the heart. He wants volunteers.
That's true.
Amen. That's what I was, I, I texted out, rejoice always, and again I said rejoice, and greater is he that is for us than those that are against us, and we got to stand firm on that. Put your faith in Christ Jesus and nothing else, and God will take
care
of us. So, you know, the world may crumble around us, but the Lord's going to protect the remnant, those who seek him, no king but King Jesus.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's important to remember Psalms 37:1. Do not fret because of evildoers.
Yeah,
you know, that's, you know, something that we can't be found fretting. And like you said, I think there's a lot to that, you know, free will on, you know, choosing him willfully. You know, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love him, that's what you'll do.
Yep, that's right. And it, like I said, he wants volunteers. He doesn't want people that are forced into it.
Yeah. I read an article the other day that the GOP was all worried because they said 1.5 million Christians across the country are going to write in Jesus Christ and they'll lose that vote. So praise God if that's what happened. But I know there's a remnant that did.
Amen.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Listen, you guys have a great weekend.
Yeah.
Look forward to hearing the services tomorrow. And we'll be talking to you later.
All right. Thanks for calling. And we'll go to line two. Hello, caller.
Yes, sir. You, Bob, looking at the clock, you've got to wrap up. But I just wanted to say, if nothing else, thank you for playing that hit in my stride this morning. I needed that.
That's a good song, isn't it?
Right, and it started the one that you repeated last night, too. Well timed.
Well, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Yep. Well, we are just about out of time. John, you got any closing thoughts for us?
I think pray, or play, no king but King Jesus again.
Yeah, I would agree.
On the way out.
You know, and I want to leave people with Psalms 37:1. Do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious towards wrongdoers. For they will wither quickly like
Amen.
The grass and fade like the green herb. Thank you, Jesus. And dear Heavenly Father, we just ask, Father, for you to tend to the remnant, for you to assist them in not fretting, and that you give them the strength, wisdom, and endurance that they need, that you guide us and direct us in all that we do, in Jesus Christ's name. And folks, if you want to email me, my email address is jason@sfaw.org, and you can join us tomorrow for live church service at the LaPorte Church of Christ by going to scripturesforamerica.org. Have a good weekend, folks.
Native shores and their sailing ships of war to establish tyranny by the orders of a tyrant king. Paul Revere cried his alarms and the people took up arms and they fired up their guns on the greens of Lexington. Soon the battles will be won and the bells of liberty would ring. Those men who fought to keep us free were not afraid to die. They drew their strength and courage from towers up on high and cried this battle. No king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Messiah. No king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Holy One of Israel, the Holy One of Israel.
Through the toil and the tears in the last 100 years, we have fainted from the fight for his liberty and life. We've been blinded by the lies, so we hardly know what's right from wrong. As the anti-Christian hordes with their global overlords now surround his holy saints in the camp of the United States, just like Israel of old, we now find ourselves in Babylon. So now's the time for all good men to seek his face on high and vow to do his will on earth and rise up and defy the lie and cry this battle cry. No king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Messiah.
time for all good men to seek his face on high and vow to do his will on earth and rise up and defy.